In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You've probably noticed by your little handouts that there was a choice of two different sermons today. The one we heard, and the one about the gentleman at the pool waiting to be healed. Of the two, which do you suppose is the easier sermon? I'll give you a hint. Apparently, I don't do easy. I was attracted to this first sermon offering. There's things in it that resonate with me. There's things in it that I've thought about that you probably haven't. When I read this reading, well, let me ask you this. When you hear this reading, what is it that you think of? What comes to mind when you hear this reading? Are there other scriptures or other thoughts that come to mind? And I'm asking seriously.
The gospel?
Yeah.
Promise of the Holy Spirit.
What?
The promise of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, I thought you said the promise of the oyster.
No. Well, that's not so bad.
The promise of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, okay. Anything? Seriously, I'm genuinely curious. I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything. Does this call to mind any other scripture to you? I mean, it should. For me, we'll just make it easy on you. Maybe you'll see where I'm going for this. For me, it calls to mind the other scripture where Christ is talking about the Holy Spirit and the things that we do not know yet, we will be shown by the Holy Spirit. This is that same passage, basically. What's Christ talking about, though? That turn of phrase has been used to validate many things through many centuries. But as I was going through looking at this scripture particularly, and that thought running through my head, it's important to note context, right? To note when this was spoken about. What time in Christ's life? Well, we know it was before he was crucified. We know it was before he ascended. So what truths is he talking about us knowing that we can't see clearly? This ties back to Easter, guys. What truths is he talking about? Remember Peter before Easter, when Christ went up to him, who do people say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, some say a prophet. Okay, who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. Truly, you did not reveal this by worldly means, Peter. My Father must have told this to you, and upon this rock I will build my church. Pretty strong words. So what didn't they know before he was crucified and rose and ascended? What didn't they know? It was always a great suspicion that this was the Messiah, that his words, as he said, were from the Father. It was a suspicion. It was not confirmed. It was not a truth to them yet. When I leave, my Father will send you the Holy Spirit, leading you into all truth. How about the phrase, I am the way, the truth, None may come to the Father but through me.
Do you begin to see the pattern?
The phrase that you who have seen yet do not believe.
Thomas?
Yeah, well, it's a hard truth, is it not? It's a hard truth. The church in general, no matter where you go,
tends to focus
on the amazing, the uplifting, the strange. Tends to focus on desire. I've always found that interesting.
It wasn't desire
that brought me back to the church. It was desire that made me run from it. What brought me back to the church
was truth. I began to see things that I had not seen. Rebecca St. James is a Christian artist. I don't even know if she puts music out anymore. But I used to listen to a lot of her songs because she had a really good voice, and oddly enough, I listened to them when I wasn't in the church. But she's got a song that she's talking about service and desire. And in the context of that song, she's got this song, she's got these words talking about society. We live to serve no one, we live only to please ourselves. The response to that is all men serve something. The strongest point of that song is actually at the end. There's a child probably between 6 and 8 years old. And what he says is, until you find something worth dying for, you're not really living. And I have to stop and think about that. And I agree with it. When I walked away from the church, I walked away because of desire. I walked away because I thought I knew better. I walked away because I wanted something different. I have experienced just about every religion that is out there. Before I became a priest in the Episcopal Church, my last stint was as a Wiccan, a witch. I found the truth. And the truth is worth dying for. It is important to understand Scripture.
It is important to know our tradition. It's important to know our faith. When you need something done, what do you do? Do you go to a professional?
When your house has a broken pipe and it's flooding and you call the plumber, does he show up and say, "Well, I feel like this is going to work better"? Or does he use his knowledge to figure out the problem and fix it properly? This is something we miss and we don't want to think about. When you call an electrician, you think that electrician is
You expect that electrician to know his job and find the problem. When your car is broken, you don't take it to Bob the mowing guy down the street because he thinks he can fix cars. You take it to somebody that knows how to fix a car. When you're sick, you go to a doctor, not a sheep herder. Why do we sit there and look at Scripture and not add two and two together? Why do we look at Scripture and say, well, that's your truth, not mine? Why do we look at Scripture and try to twist it six ways to Sunday instead of actually looking at it for what it is? Why do we never take the context and content of the message and twist it around to serve our needs when it's not our needs to be served? I'll give you a perfect example. Social justice is very, very big right now, is it not? Both within and without the church. I literally heard yesterday that cauliflower is now racist because it's white and European. Are you serious? Let me explain something. You want social justice? Find God. It is within the context of God that it becomes Paul saying, there is no Greek or Jew, no black or white, no slave or free. It is within only that context of God. The alternative to that is actually a saying attributed to Samuel Colt. God created man and Sam Colt made him equal. Pretty strange and far-fetched to think that way, isn't it? I actually like the saying from Sam Colt, but that's a different story. But you want to serve social justice? You want to make a change? Find something worth dying for and serve God. I would much rather serve someone that vanquished death, that offers eternal life, peace, hope, and knowledge. Than to be blown about by every whimsy of society. If you watch movies, there's a remake of the movie Van Helsing, right? And Van Helsing goes out and he goes across the entire world. And this is the problem with much of society. He goes out across the entire world and kills the monsters. And somebody finally stops and asks him, what happens when you kill all the monsters? You still exist. He became a monster to kill monsters, and at the end, somebody has to kill him in order for all the monsters to be gone. The catch 22 is, whoever does that is now a monster. So the monster is never really gone. Sin is not gone. Degradation is not gone. Racism is not gone. Every evil committed by mankind is not gone. when you try to put people into a box. Because you still exist.
It's an interesting concept that we pass over. We don't want to recognize the truths that Christ says because they don't fit into our world. We twist things or cherry pick things so that what we desire comes to pass and begins to make sense. We, in our hypocrisy, think that we are not the ones that need to be changed. It's everyone else. I gotta tell you, that's pretty much what every single religion in the world says. I don't have to change. You do. That's kind of funny. There's only one. There's only one that says, follow me. What is truth?